from Lake Wissota, once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Give Luke all the credit for Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap as leading us into our first topic for this half hour with political analyst Joe Zepecki. And that, of course, would be everybody's favorite Chief Inspector Michael Gableman, the former state Supreme Court Justice. Joe, I don't normally, you know, throw out expressions that, you know, kids use, like, you know, I can't even. But I just found out a bit ago that Gableman recorded a robocall urging voters to support Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's primary opponent in tomorrow's election, even though it was Voss that put Gableman in charge of the quote-unquote investigation. Gableman's doing a robocall for an election when he's supposed to be this investigator on behalf of all of Wisconsin. Joe, I can't even.
Calling the Republican Party of Wisconsin a flaming dumpster fire at the moment is like an insult to dumpster fires. What an absolute nightmare that Donald Trump comes to town on Friday to stump for Tim Michaels, his preferred candidate for governor, and brings up on stage another Wisconsin Republican he has endorsed, Adam Steen, running against Robin Voss, who nobody's heard of, who doesn't really have a snowball's chance. And all of a sudden, this guy, Mr. Steen, has Trump behind him. He's got Gableman behind him. And there's just chaos on the Republican side. It's just unbelievable.
It is. And I remember seeing when Trump came to Waukesha County Friday on behalf of when Trump came on behalf of Michaels, that apparently Gableman offered the opening prayer or whatever, where again, he asked for protection of, you know, for Donald Trump. And I just thought that takes some guts. Guts wouldn't be the right word necessarily. And now here he is. He has cost taxpayers more than $1 million. And yet he's got the audacity to get involved in another election campaign, in a primary, in a Republican primary, which does beg this question. And maybe we've been too exposed to, you know, certain political machines back in the day. I always think of like Mayor Daley in Chicago or something. Sometimes we wonder, well, why doesn't Voss just pull the plug on Gableman? The same way I sometimes wonder, why doesn't, you know, the governor pull the plug on this renegade, you know, natural resources board member? And, you know, I guess those are great what ifs and parlor games, but real life is a little more complicated than that.
Well, it's more complicated only if you make it. So here's what I would say. Win, lose, or draw tomorrow, Robin Voss should fire Gableman immediately. You know all these conversations people have about how, like, Republicans are the daddy party and Democrats are the mommy party, and it's all nonsense. But Republicans like to think that they're the tough guys, right? This is why they like Trump. They'll tell it like it is. He's tough. He's going to take the fight to the people we don't like. Robin Voss, if he was a tough guy, would say, cut the crap. You cross me, you're done. He should fire Gableman this morning, but he won't. So I'll give him until like the end of the week. Voss is busy with his election. Maybe he'll win. Maybe he'll lose. But if he's actually the tough guy that he wants Wisconsin voters to think Republicans are, he would throw Gableman out on his keister by the end of the week, period, end of story.
Instead, we face a primary tomorrow where Voss will face a primary, but the real marquee on the Republican side is the gubernatorial primary. And Wispolitics passes along a new poll from Emerson College and found that it is still as tight as everybody thought it was. 36% of survey respondents backing former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clefish. 36% for her, 34% for construction executive Tim Michaels, so well within the poll's margin of error. 8% backing Tim Ramthun, and inexplicably 6% still supporting businessman Kevin Nicholson, who dropped out of the race. And here, no, it's 14%. Yeah, 14% are still undecided. So, I mean, we're really not going to know till tomorrow, Joe, unless you tell me you've got here's your chance, some great insight, some big, bold prediction for us.
My prediction is it will be so close that Republicans will remain divided and be fighting over the veracity of the results until maybe close to Labor Day. right? Because if this is a 2-point race, whichever candidate wins is going to pull the same nonsense we see from Donald Trump and his allies, which is they're going to call into question the results. So here's my public service announcement for the day. If you are a Republican, go out and vote in your Republican primary, make a decision, choose the direction you want your party to go in. If you are a Democrat or a progressive or someone who has 0% chance of voting for a Republican in the fall, stay out of that primary. Come and vote in the Democratic primary. And I have a number of reasons for that, but like I'm seeing some chatter that people are wondering, like, well, now that, you know, it looks like Barnes is our Senate nominee and we know that Evers is our nominee, should we go vote in that Republican? No, you shouldn't. Cut it out. Vote for Democrats if you're a Democrat. Vote in the Republican primary if you're a Republican. You with me on this, Pat?
Absolutely. Well, on top of that, there are three very important down ballot races at the state level. Well, Attorney General Josh Call, but Secretary of State, Lieutenant Governor, and State Treasurer is the one that I'd been forgetting before. Those are key races. And frankly, you know, the Lieutenant Governor position is one of those you don't hear about it until you need it. And there is a Democratic primary there, just as there is for Secretary of State and for State Treasurer. So, yeah, you should be voting in your own party's primary because, again, come Wednesday, I'm going to be turning to people like you going, okay, now tell me again who this person is, who's the Democratic candidate for, you know, State Treasurer, is, you know, because it just doesn't get nearly the attention of, say, the Democratic primary in the 3rd Congressional District.
Yeah, well, I just think about with these three statewide races, these are launching pads for the future leaders of the Democratic Party, right? Our outgoing State Treasurer ran a great campaign for the United States Senate, Sarah Godlewski. Now she has thrown her support to Mandela Barnes, but Sarah is a household name who's got a bright future ahead of her in the Democratic Party, right? In terms of the other, it's Lieutenant Governor. We've got a Lieutenant Governor who's going to be our nominee. On the Secretary of State front, you know, this is one of those races, those offices where if Republicans win, they could really do some funny business when it comes to how elections are run and who decides who wins in this state, whether it is actually up to the voters or whether it is partisan elected officials who make the determination about whether or not to certify a state's results. So Democrats, do your homework tonight. Go out and vote in those races. Stay out of the Republican stuff. And Pat made an excellent point, the best point yet, which is if you're in Western Wisconsin, if you're in that 3rd congressional district, you've got a really important choice to make. Wisconsin's 3rd district is one of the most competitive congressional districts in the country. Republicans are coming for it with all they've got to try and win back control of Congress. Democrats, get out there, decide who you want your nominee to be.
It's going to be, I mean, the Democratic Party is all going to come together post-primary simply because Derek Van Orden, the presumptive Republican nominee in the 3rd Congressional District, you know, was on the Capitol grounds January 6th. And that's probably the nicest thing that he's done over the past couple of years compared to some of his other actions and things. But that is going to be...
And it's not even just about where he was on January 6th. It's what he's running for Congress to do and to be. If you think Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert or Matt Gaetz, if you think that's the model of what you want from a Wisconsin congressperson, then Derek Van Orden is your guy. He ain't going to Congress to work. He's going to be a show pony because he wants to be famous. And he thinks that being a politician is the way to do it, since starring in these B movies with Steven Seagal didn't work. You know, he's doing it for the shtick. He's not actually doing it to do things like lower costs for seniors or make sure that our workforce is prepared to compete in the 21st century economy. If you want a show horse, fine, go vote for Derek Van Orden. But I think we've got enough of the Marjorie Taylor Greens and Lauren Boberts in Congress. We don't need another one. And if you're a Wisconsinite, you sure as heck don't want one of those clowns to come from Wisconsin. That's what you're going to get with Derek Van Orden.
That it really reminds me of all the years working in a TV newsroom where you saw people come through and it didn't take long to figure out who wanted to be a TV journalist and who just wanted to be on TV. And then I saw that in the state capitol as well, who actually wanted to go into public service and who just wanted a stage. So speaking of a stage for Republicans, One's going to be constructed in Milwaukee in 2024 when the Republican National Convention comes to town. I understand that it's going to bring economic impact. And if Mayor Johnson welcomes them, then, you know, bless him for it. I don't think I would have done it. I don't think it's necessarily a great call, but, I'm always happy to be proven wrong. Where are you on the Republican National Convention coming to Milwaukee?
I have this little sign I look at, this little note I wrote to myself every day that says, every day choose joy, optimism, and hope. So I'm going to choose optimism, and I'm going to take this as an opportunity for Republicans who never spend time in urban cities like Milwaukee because they're too busy demonizing and vilifying communities like the one that is just to my south. I think they should come on out. Let's do this. Let them see up close and personal all that there is to offer in a great city like Milwaukee. Come spend your money. I hope they spend all their money. I hope they tip extremely well so that Milwaukee area workers have their best year ever. And, you know, what happens in the convention hall, what happens whether they, you know, nominate Trump or Trump light, you know, DeSantis, that's kind of besides the point. That's a TV show. For the rest of it, hopefully it'll be like when Northwestern Mutual Life comes to town and we just get an opportunity to show off our city to thousands of people who would never come here otherwise. And you know what? I'm okay with that. Let them see up close and personal. It's not as bad as they want swing voters to believe it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe Specky is our guest this hour. We've been focusing a lot on the Republicans. I want to turn back to the Democratic side just to get to the U.S. Senate race. Again, we don't have that, you know, close primary that we some of us were expecting early on. Mandela Barnes has cleared the field. And yet you have, again, the legacy media saying, oh, is Mandela Barnes, you know, too far to the left? His liberal this, his liberal that, you know, being a liability. Like I pointed out yesterday on Twitter, Wisconsin is still, when in statewide elections, Wisconsin is still a progressive state. It's a thin margin, but you can't gerrymander an entire state. So when they say, I don't know, can Mandela do it statewide? I think they're missing the mark on, you know, thanks to gerrymandering of the legislature, of what state elections have been like in this state. Do you share that, or do you think Mandela Barnes is going to have an uphill fight?
Oh, listen, it's going to be one of the closest races in the country. It's going to be an uphill fight no matter who it is. But you're absolutely right that the sort of the national media is just totally missing the boat on this. Believe it or not, they let the New York Times let somebody run an opinion column that has the following line in it. The national political winds favor Republican candidates, and Wisconsin's closely divided electorate has moved slightly towards the GOP over the past several years. Apparently, this person doesn't know how to read election results.
Right.
Because there have been 12 statewide elections since Donald Trump won here in 2016, and progressives have won 11 of them. So explain to me how the electorate has moved towards Republicans when we had all those wins in 2018. We're picking up judicial seats and nonpartisan seats. And the only win in the last 5 years since then is Justice Brian Hagedorn, who won by 5,000 votes. So I don't know. Apparently they'll give New York Times opinion columns to anybody.
I think they were, I saw that column and I thought they were just looking for a way to say, yeah, we know he's taken some goofy, unpopular positions, you know, but, and then shrug emoji. It should have been just shrug emoji. Should have been the entire column. Joe Zepecki, thank you so much.
You don't talk like a kid.
this has been great. We will do this again real soon. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
You too. Vote blue, everybody.
There you go. Polls open tomorrow, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Go to myvote.wi.gov if you have any questions. Otherwise, just get out there and vote. We will wrap up the show after this.